So nice to have all of you with us this evening. And if you're with us for the very first time, I hope I'll get a chance to meet you and say hi to you after the service tonight. For those that are new or relatively new to our evening services, we've been just trying to honor the Bible tonight. I'm preaching on great chapters of the Bible. My wife was trying to get out of me this afternoon what chapter I was going to preach on. I wouldn't tell her. But I said, I think it'll be special to you. And Psalm 103 is a special psalm to our family. And we remember it as the last psalm that her mom was trying to memorize before she died. She almost had it all done. Psalm 103. Some of you remember Janet Thompson, Leslie's mom. She used to be a good servant in this church, worked in the nursery a lot, helped with dinners and so on. She was a blessing. And her and Roy were in the process of memorizing Psalm 103 when she passed away. She almost had it all done. And I can still remember Stephen and his cousin Brianne reading Psalm 103 at her funeral. And it's just been a blessed psalm. And it's one that I use at so many funerals that I've done. Sometimes Psalm 23 gets a little bit old. Everyone knows that one by memory. And I like to read Psalm 103. It's just a psalm that just blesses the Lord. And it's all about the benefits that God has given to us as His children, and I suppose we could say maybe as Americans. And it's all about the blessings of God. It's a great Thanksgiving psalm. If I were to bring this out in a month or so, you'd say, boy, that fits right into the, I hate to say this, the season of Thanksgiving. There is no such thing as a season of Thanksgiving for us believers. Although we celebrate Thanksgiving Day, I'm glad for that. But the downside of that is people get the idea, well, we thank the Lord on Thanksgiving Day and the rest of the year's ours, you know. But we ought to be thankful all the time. And I think somebody wrote a hymn one time, says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, count your many blessings. And I believe that was probably based maybe on this psalm. I don't know the history of that song. But this is a psalm where the blessings are just counted that God does for us both physically and spiritually. And let's not forget those. Sometimes we thank the Lord for the physical blessings, the tangible things we can see. But boy, it's the intangible things, the spiritual things that God does on the inside of us that are even more precious. And so I thought about Psalm 103, and really the main reason why I chose to do this tonight and not for the wait till the Thanksgiving season is because of just some of the things that are going on in our country at this time. All over our country, they're protesting, and they're going to cities, halls, and Wall Street, and banks, and so on and so forth, and this has just been a groundswell that's been getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger of people complaining. And basically, I'm getting a little bit tired of it. I don't care if they got a good cause or not. I just don't like complaining. I think God's been so good to Americans. Every American ought to get on their knees and thank the Lord for the privilege of living in this country every single day. I know there's people having struggles and there's poor people and so on, and we love them, we want to help them, we want to minister to them, and I know some of you are going through hardships and I'm going through hardships, and if we're not careful, we'll just come up with some big sob story about how hard we have it. But you ought to go to a third world country sometime. Go with Pastor Seth to Vietnam next year on the missions trip, or Cambodia this year and places he's gone. And you just kind of come back and kiss the ground when you get back to America. And in my little life, I'm grateful I've had a chance to be in 11 foreign countries. Man, we live in a great land. I was always glad to come back to America. And as one preacher said, and I've used his saying before, and it might not be that spiritual of a saying, but he says, boy, if you live in America, you've hit the lottery. You've got it made. And we just have a lot of complaining going on in this country. And people who want our country to become socialistic or communistic or whatever. I can't even discern what they're complaining about. But man, I'm glad to live here every day of my life. I thank God for America. I know so many of you do too. And I just got so up to here about hearing it, I decided I'd read this 103rd Psalm just for my own sake. Because this psalm so blesses my heart about how good God has been to me. How good God has been to you, and how good God has been to all of his children, and how good God has been to our country. And so I want to look at Psalm 103 for a little while as we call this course on Sunday night's great chapters of the Bible. Every chance I've had to speak, I've tried to pick out a particular chapter, and this is a great psalm. And so let's go through it. The first two verses says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then after that word benefits, you're going to see a colon. And he is going to begin to list a whole bunch, not all of them, but a whole bunch of the benefits that David, the psalm writer, has received from his relationship of knowing God. And they continue on all the way down to the end of verse 18. And then there's a little bit of a conclusion in verses 19 through 22. But as we read these things, that I hope they will be reminders of you of what a privilege it is of knowing God and knowing his Son, Jesus Christ, and being related to him, and the benefits that we have from being the children of God. It says in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Your soul is that spiritual part of your being. Your spirit is the emotional part of your being, and your body is the physical part of your being. The soul is the very innermost part of your being, where is embedded the heart. The Bible always talks about the heart and soul, heart and soul, heart and soul, heart and soul. That's the very innermost part of your being. He's saying from the most innermost part of your being, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And he says in verse 1, "And all that is within me, bless his holy name." Boy, here's a practice that is not, you know, in our country of America, we have been brought up to be secular humanists. We've been brought up to be proud. We've been brought up to think about ourselves. And if we're not careful, if we're just selfish and self-centered, the last thing we would ever want to do is bless the Lord with all that is within me. But we should. I mean, put your all into blessing the Lord. You know what that means? Did you ever see them focus on the fans at a football game? That's an example of what it means to put your all that is within me. Those men are putting into that game. You ever seen them? They're all painted up, got orange hair and green hair and paint all over their faces, and they're adult men screaming, beating their chest, got their shirts off, all kinds of stuff. They're putting their all into that. They're putting their all into that. That's what that phrase means there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I mean, if you ever want to raise your hands or say amen or praise the Lord or hallelujah or something around here, you just go ahead. And don't you worry about those that might look at you. But all that is, can you imagine putting all in, all that is within me? Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. The psalmist is saying, "Boy, I don't want to be a forgetful believer. I don't want to forget the benefits of being related to the Lord." Keep your place here. Go back to chapter 68, verse 19. Psalm 68, verse number 19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." I mean a daily load of benefits. When I was in Germany for 6 months, the United States Army gave me a stipend. I was at TDY, and I was put up in a German hotel. And they gave me, and I forgot the amount of money they gave me every single day to buy food with. I could not buy that much food. I could not eat that much food. But every single day, because I was off base and I had to go to restaurants, German restaurants and stuff, they gave me so much money to spend on food every day for 6 months. 6 months. It was something else. I was loaded. Okay, there's an illustration. I was loaded every day. It never stopped. It seemed to me like a broken system, but it never stopped. That's how the Lord is. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Too many people think, well, what has God done for me lately? No, he's done something for you every day. We're going to get to some of those benefits here in just a moment. Over in Psalm 116, however, it also says this about benefits. Psalm 116. And I want you to notice verse number 12. Psalm 116 and verse number 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He said in verse 13, because of God's benefits, number one, I'm going to get saved. Verse 13 and verse 14, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's the least I can do to render unto the Lord for all of the benefits that he has given me. The benefits are the goodness of God. And the goodness of God, verse 12, leads us to repentance. Verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I cannot imagine anybody why they wouldn't get saved. Why they wouldn't trust Christ as their Savior after God has been so good to them. I mean, every lost person on earth, God has given them every breath they've ever taken, according to the Scriptures. God's given them the ability to move. God's given them their mental faculties and all of their food and drink and so on and so forth. He created all of creation to serve man. We're the only planet like this. As we were watching at the Atlantic Ocean several times, we got up and watched the sunrise, and then at night there was a full moon, and the tides would come in, the tides would come out, all of that. All of that. God designed it all to serve mankind. To serve mankind. He made it all for us. And the wise man will, when he says, what will I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? I'll get saved. I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. But more than that, I'm going to serve the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I'm going to do what I promised God that I would do. Let's remember all of his benefits. And now let's just get into them. I can't preach. I suppose you go a whole year just taking one statement at a time of this psalm and preaching on it. But here's some of the benefits that our soul should bless the Lord's holy name for, because we're related to him. And of course, number one in verse 3, and I'm not going to number them all, I'll just start shouting them out here, but number one is, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Boy, that's great, isn't it? What a benefit. What if you remembered one of them? What would your standing be like tonight before God? You'd be doomed. You'd be condemned forever if he remembered one of your sins, one of your transgressions. If he forgot to blot out one of them on your account, you'd be in trouble with God tonight. He's a holy God. He's not allowing sin in his presence. But what a benefit. Don't ever get over your salvation. It says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Then it says, who healeth all thy diseases. And I believe this to be all of our diseases, our physical infirmities, our spiritual infirmities, our broken hearts. Salvation, one of the benefits of knowing the Lord is the healing work God does us. And many of you have testimonies of healing, but physically. But you know, it's the spiritual healing that takes place. That's just so amazing. So many people have come out of lives where they were abused. Growing up, they were abused physically and mentally and verbally and emotionally and just beat up by this world. By the time you get to Christ, you're a wreck of a human being. And you come to know Jesus as your Savior. And man, the Lord starts healing you on the inside. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Heals all of our diseases. And he gets in there, he gives us a sound mind, he heals our mental infirmities, our emotional hang-ups and problems, and the abuse. He came to set at liberty them that are bruised, those that have been abused by other human beings. God is so great. Those that have been neglected, those that had fathers that never talked to him or ignored him or deserted him or so on and so forth, he steps in and he becomes your father. And he never leaves you or forsakes you. And he fills that void and he satisfies and he heals. What a wonderful God. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Amen. He saves us from a lot of things in this life and keeps us alive until that appointed day when he takes us to heaven, and precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. See, the Lord shows us his loving kindness. Not just kindness, but loving kindness. As I've explained many times, kindness is the businessman or lady at Walmart or Kohl's or Target that says, thank you for shopping with us today. And they're kind to you, but they're not loving kind. They just do that because they're paid to do that. They want you to come back, spend more money. But God's kindness towards us is based on his love. That checkout girl at Walmart doesn't love you. But God does. And his kindness towards us is predicated on his love. Because I love you, I'll be kind to you. Charity suffereth long and is kind. See, love is kind. If you don't tell me you love your loved ones or your wife or husband or children if you're not kind to them. Just quit fooling yourself. And part of loving is being kind to people. Being kind to people. And God is kind to us. I think it says in Luke 6, verse 35, he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Even those that don't deserve it. Unthankful people, he's kind to them. Evil people, he's kind to them. He's been kind to you, I think, if you would really consider his benefits all of your life, I think we'd probably all say, God's been pretty kind to me. It's loving kindness. What else? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And man, my wife and I, we ate some of the best food. I did everything I could southern while I was down there. I don't even know what I was eating sometimes. I was just, if it was southern, I wanted it. I wanted to experience. I wanted to have the whole experience down there. Man, I was eating fried okra and fried squash. And, oh, we didn't have the hocktails. We didn't have those, but we almost did. And, man, we're eating all kinds of stuff. And I'm not saying we ought to be gluttons, but God satisfieth us with, he satisfies our mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. You know, I'm not saying they were right for complaining or anything, but aren't you glad you're not eating manna for 40 straight years? We've got quite a variety in this country, you know it? And if we'll eat right, we'll restore our youth like the eagles. And, you know, if we can eat right, we'll. God has made food, good food, to bring a healing to our bodies and give us more energy and more strength. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. What's that mean? It means he knows what you're going through, is what verse 6 means. He discerns what we are going through and he does right by us. And even those that are oppressed, that word judgment there means discernment, and he comes to the aid of the oppressed. And then he leaves for us an example. Verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. There's probably never a time where God's children were as oppressed as in the days of Moses and the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. And they were under terrible taskmasters and they were reduced to being slaves. And it says, the Lord came and executed righteousness, and he began to judge all of Egypt's gods, and he opened up the Red Sea and threw the Passover blood, and they were able to go across on dry land, and then he flooded the Egyptian army and so on and so forth. And all of that is an example, David is saying, of how the Lord sees what his people are going through, and he comes to their aid and to their rescue. His benefits continue. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Some have observed that those two words are opposites of each other. Mercy is not getting what we deserve, and grace is getting what we don't deserve. And the Lord is both. He's merciful to us. He doesn't give us what we deserve, and He's gracious to us. He bestows His grace upon us, which is what we don't deserve. And that grace enables us to do anything He asks us to do, become anything He wants us to be, go anywhere He wants us to go. It'll never fail us. The grace of God is sufficient for any kind of suffering you may be going through. You can come through it victorious. You may have entered into a season of life right now, recently maybe, some of you that you never expected you'd ever have to live through. God's grace is sufficient. You start calling upon God's grace in that season you're in right now, and you said, boy, I never knew my life was going to come to this. You start asking God for His grace right now. And you'll find it is a benefit that He has waiting to give you. He's slow to anger. Aren't you glad about that tonight, verse number 8? That's a benefit, isn't it, that God is slow to anger. He's not a hothead. He's not like that. He doesn't just fly off the handle. You know some people like that, you never know what you're going to run into when you meet them. They may be in a nice mood that day. They may just kablam, explode, but not God. You can count on His character to always be the same. And He's slow to anger. I gave Him reasons this week to be angry. I confess that. All right? But He's been slow to anger with me. Probably with you. And plenteous in mercy. That mercy thing just keeps coming up all through the Psalms. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. In other words, when He does get angry, He gets over that pretty soon. He doesn't always keep it. In other words, if you think God's mad at you tonight, get over it. There's some people that are like that. They think God's mad at them all the time. They just go through life thinking God's mad at me all the time. No, the Bible says He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He's not like that. Turn to Psalm 30. Psalm 30 and look at verse 5 with me. Psalm 30 and verse number 5. For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Notice, His anger endureth but for a moment. Yeah, there's been times that He's been mad at me or angry at me, but it endures for a moment. But there's some people who go through life thinking God's mad at me. God's angry at me. Look what I did. No, His anger endures for a moment. That's what He said about Himself. You need to rest in that tonight. And you need to start understanding God is your friend. God is for you more than anybody. And He's not mad at you because of something you did 20 years ago or some decision you made, you know, 30 years ago or something. Some people go through life with this hang-up that God still got issues with me. No, His anger endures for a moment. He will not always chide. Neither will He keep His anger forever. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 16, for I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. That's too much for humans, He says, and so I refuse to be like that. I'm not going to be angry forever. I'm not going to contend with you forever. That'd be too much on the human spirit and on the soul to take. And so God knows when to just reconcile with us, be our friends again. That's a reconciliation, is us becoming friends with God again. So please don't think He's mad at you all the time. Don't go through life like that. Remember, His anger is just but for a moment. What a benefit, amen? I'm glad He doesn't keep His anger. It's but for a moment. All right. Verse 10, talking about His benefits. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. There's a good benefit, amen? What if He did? We'd all be lost. We'd all be in hell tonight if He dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear him. How has he dealt with our sins? Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Well, there's a benefit. Aren't you glad he's removed your transgressions from you as far as the east is from the west? And you know the old illustration with this verse. If you use the earth as an illustration, you start going east, you're always going east. You never go west. You're always going east. It's different when you go north. You finally, north finally reaches south, and then you're going south. Then south reaches north, and you're going north. But east never meets west. And he's saying, listen, I just want you to know I've forgiven you. I've separated your transgressions from you as far as the east is from the west. What a benefit. Let's not forget all of his benefits. And it gets better. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He pities us. He doesn't keep his anger. This is perfect fathering, by the way. What a chapter for you fathers, especially if you're trying to bring up little kids. You know, you may have to discipline them. And your anger may come up from time to time because of something, but your anger, fathers, ought to be just for a moment. And then you ought to pity your children. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Aren't you glad God has pity and he's not like these hard human beings that just say, just get over it. No, the good Lord has pity on his people. He's pitiful. In fact, it says in James chapter 5 and verse number 11, behold, we count them happy that endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful. The Lord is very. He's got a lot of pity on mankind. He feels for us. He feels sorry for us. That's what it means, a lot. He's very pitiful and of tender mercy. Well, that's how we should be also. In the next book, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it tells us, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful. Be courteous. We ought to feel for people. We ought to really feel for them. You know, Brother Rawls died. I don't know how many of you know that. He was here just a few years ago. He did our missions conference. Brother Richard Rawls. What a great man of God he was. And I think it was just 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I don't know. He just had his funeral. Man, that guy did a lot for our Lord. But you know, I feel for his wife and his daughter. He had that disabled daughter, remember, and had to institutionalize her for a while. It got so bad. Now I just feel for her. And she's got to do something with the daughter. I don't know what. But we need to send her a card, our church. We need to send her some money. We need to feel for her. There's so many. Everybody's got a story. But we ought to have pity for people. We ought to have pity. We ought to pray for people. That's just one illustration. Why? Because that's how the Lord is. The Lord is very pitiful. He feels sorry for us. Why? Verse 14, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows what we're made out of. Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy and I'll fall or I'll sin or something. I'll beat myself up. I'll almost beat myself right out of the ministry if I'm not careful. And I'm not saying God justifies our sins in any way, shape, or form, but in verse 14, he knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. He knows how frail we are. This is one of our benefits. God knows what we're made out of every day. If you fall and if you fail, God knows what you're made out of. He knows we're just dust. He knows our brevity. Verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. You know, when you and I are dead, they'll have a little funeral service for us, a eulogy for a while, but pretty soon everybody will forget us. Don't get too big of a head about yourself. You'll be forgotten as fast as everybody else will. So am I. But the Lord knows our brevity. And he loves us. And even though our lives are very, very brief, verse 17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that feareth, and his righteousness unto children's children. I mean, even when we're gone, if we're righteous, if we fear the Lord, he's going to put his blessing on our children and our children's children. Things go from generation to generation, you know, based on our behavior. We need to be careful. Watch out what you get involved in, man. That'll come around to the next generation, affect them, for bad or for good. And this tells us the good. This tells us the good. If we fear God, if we do righteousness, when we're gone and the wind passes over us and we're gone, verse 16, the Lord will bless our children and our children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Boy, remember his commandments. Sometimes they slip my mind. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll be reading the Bible and say, oh yeah, man, God wants me to do that. But that's why we ought to read the Bible through all the time. Keep reading it. It reminds us of some of his commandments. And he's one of the benefits is he'll keep his eye on those that remember to do his commandments. Now, the rest of the chapter is just a paragraph in verses 19 through 22. It's a wonderful conclusion to the chapter on the benefits of God. What the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. In other words, we win in the end. Amen? The Lord wins, and the Lord wins in the end, and we win with him. Bless the Lord. It just tells us to bless the Lord now, the last three verses. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, I don't think it'd be too far, reading between the lines, to realize that there are times in the Bible when God compares angels and ministers to his children and to those that are doing his work. For instance, in Psalm 145 and verse number 10, it says this, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. And we ought to bless the Lord. Psalm 104, probably on the next page, and verse 4, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. And angels is talking about his messengers, his ministers, and so on and so forth. We're supposed to bless the Lord. Those of you that excel in strength, you become mature in the Lord, bless the Lord. You that are ministers that do his pleasure, verse 21, bless the Lord. And in all his works in all places, that means in your home. Your home ought to bless the Lord. Your testimony at work ought to bless the Lord. Your work inside the church, using your gifts, callings, and so on and so forth. Your singing, whatever it is, it all ought to bless the Lord. Man, I tell you, our works, you know, our home life ought to just be a testimony to the community around us. And it ought to be a blessing to the Lord. And then it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's where the heart resides, is in the soul. Man, just get down deep and just bless the Lord. Now, of course, I didn't do this chapter justice, but boy, we just saw benefit after benefit after benefit after benefit after benefit after benefit tonight from knowing the Lord as our Savior. If the first one, verse 3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, if the chapter ended right there, man, we'd say, boy, it sure is good to know the Lord. But there's a whole lot more after that. Let's give him thanks and all that is within you sometime soon. Bless the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this chapter and for this way that we can bless the Lord by remembering his benefits. Let's just bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Psalm 103. We thank you for David who dug down deep in his soul and the Holy Ghost drew this out, that he was cognizant of all these spiritual blessings and physical blessings and the true nature of God, that you're not a God that keeps your anger forever, you're slow to anger, you're plenteous in mercy, your loving kindness, your tenderness, And he said, all these are benefits that I just live in every day of my life. And so that all that was within him, from his soul, he just said, bless you, Lord. Bless you. Lord, perhaps some tonight, myself included, might confess the sin of forgetting all your benefits. Maybe we've started complaining. Maybe we've even gotten a guilty distance away from thee and we're saying things like, what has God done for me lately? And oh, forgive us. Forgive us of our sins. So may this altar call just be a time of confession, a time of blessing you, a time of thanking you. And even if somebody here tonight is having the worst day of their life, help them to remember if they're saved, just even some of these things that are in this psalm, that bless them and benefit them every day. Thank you that we can know you. Help us, Lord, to reach those that don't. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.